The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests, and are not those of Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements of any radio show programs or products mentioned on air, on our website, social media accounts and marketing materials. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.
Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Soronto.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome back to The Songwriter Show. I'm your host, Sorantos, a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are very important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I believe that every song is a story. The Songwriter Show is broadcast live on number one ranked Pesmo Radio and has listeners in all 206 countries in the world and every state in the U.S. The station is also licensed with ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, and SoundExchange, and has partnerships throughout the music industry, including iHeartRadio and exposure to over 300 million listeners. Tonight's guest is Sebastian Lee. Sebastian first found his singing voice while he watched his grams in her church choir, and then opened his own door to singing when his parents signed him up for the school's choir. Since then, he focused on strengthening his skills by following influences like Carrie Underwood, Kelly Clarkson, Sam Hunt, and Demi Lovato. Sebastian has stood on stages to perform in both live theatrical productions and vocal appearances. Presently, he keeps busy at writing songs and he welcomes collaborations while also posting music videos and reviews all over social media platforms including YouTube, Instagram, and SoundCloud.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Sebastian. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, good. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for calling in tonight. I'm excited to have you on the show, and I think our listeners are going to have fun with you tonight. Tell us a little bit about how you got started into the world of music or theater or what your first passion was.
Well, I actually didn't get through this until my Graham's church choir, which was pretty much when she was doing her like Merry Christmas kind of concerts with her choir. And I had probably maybe five times a year had gone to different rehearsals. And then every time they would just do it, I was so interested in all the different sopranos, the altos, the instruments they used. And so I also even got my parents to help me out by getting saxophone lessons, but could not continue that because my mentor who was doing that, he had to move to Massachusetts, where he also even got to perform for Kelly Clarkson, which therefore it became an influence to myself too. But before that, I also was interested in law enforcement, but at the time I had no one really to keep me up to date about the cool stuff, the safety stuff, and just what it really means to be an officer. So I didn't have much influence, so it kind of just grew on me to become a singer, be actor, participate in the fine arts industry.
Wonderful. What was the first instrument you learned how to play?
That's a very hard question. I'm probably going to say a saxophone, if I'm correct. I remember when I was really little, my Grams had a really mini piano. I'm not even sure if that's what it's called, but it literally had maybe 12 different keys, and it played like the actual note on there. But I don't know if that's considered me knowing how to play a piano, so I'll probably say saxophone.
Okay. And what do you think the saxophone gave you initially? Do you think it was something that is a good thing to start with? You know, most people start with the piano or the guitar. Do you think it gave you an advantage?
Oh, that's a good question. I kind of think it helped me understand what it means to feel music. It's one of the instruments that's out and can be in any orchestra or music performance. It's such a versatile instrument. And so it helped me really feel music, understand music, and help me find the right key. And so one of my favorite songs I really ever had done with the saxophone is a Phil Collins song called True Colors, which I believe is in the movie Tarzan. And so ever since then, I've always supported the saxophone. I've always looked up to people who play it. I follow people who play saxophone for a living, have gone on tours with like Taylor Swift and done their own concerts. So it still plays a big part. I just can't play saxophone as well as sing at the same time. I'm not that talented.
Yeah. I love what you said about the sax, you know, the feel. And it's so true, I think.
It really, really is. It's kind of like when you're even playing the piano or maybe even the violin, it's like you're moving with the music and you're like feeling the music, playing the pianos, get the right keys, swaying with it. So it's just, that's when you kind of know that you are in tune with it and you're providing the music and you are one, you're combining, you're finding the melody. And it's just a symbolic thing for me.
Yeah. You mentioned some of your musical influences, but if you could jam with one person, dead or alive, who would you pick?
It's so crazy. I think I would actually go Avril Lavigne, because when I was growing up, I kind of grew up with everyone that my brother and sister were listening to, and we would take road trips, and that was the one artist that we all could agree on to listen to, because she had just rock music, fun songs, funny songs. So, and I even listened to Cassidy Pope, and on The Voice, that was one of the musical guests that had ever been a guest on there to perform with Cassidy Pope. So I know all of her songs. I've grown up with her. So that would probably be her, Avril Lavigne. Yeah.
Okay. It sounds like you've been in some competitions.
Yeah. I think it was in the third grade. The first song I actually ever sang in a group was called Elephant's Child. And to this day, I've done so much research. I can't figure out where my musical director got the song. It was such a beautiful song. And I really wish I could remember the whole grasp of the song. But I was put, at that time, we were all doing, I guess, the alto version. And I still couldn't get my voice to match. So I remember that he told me just to do the high version. And then when the lower people came in singing, then go to match them. But that was the first experience I ever had. And then after that, it was in middle school that we started doing musicals and dramas. That's when I started my festival, when I did Dr. Faustus and D-Task, which is pretty much just improv comedy, or it could be any genre, but I did comedy that that time.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about when you perform, whether it's in the theater, what's that like? Do you ever get nervous?
All the time. It's because you know the moment's coming and you don't know what to do with the energy, or, you know, if you're going to make a mistake, or if you have to support your fellow cast members. So nervous, yes, but it's a good one because you know that you're preparing yourself and you're in the zone and you're ready to do what you have been training for so many weeks and so many months for. Yes, you get a little sweaty in the hands, but that's just where all the passion is in another way of sense. And you perform it to the best of your ability. You help your fellow stage members, and you basically just give them the best show you can. And you're really there to tell a story as well as perform for an audience who may or may not know the whole storyline. But you're supposed to tell it in your own way, and that's also the fun of it, too.
Okay. When you look at the different competitions you've done throughout your career, what was the most fun one you've done?
Back when I was in high school, I think it was probably the most fun when I was able to perform for the Los Angeles Air Force Base. A couple times there were holiday breakfasts, as well as when soldiers were returning from their deployment. And I had this awful soft spot for them. And so I could not help but just volunteer myself to perform, doing our school songs that we have performed. We did Hallelujah. We've done... at that time, we were trying, my high school had gone to the Olympics. I don't know what year it was, but they were opening. And we had to learn 25 different songs, all in each a different language. So we brought some of that music onto the Air Force Base, and we were able to kind of give ourselves practice for a live audience for how we were doing there. And so it was just an honor and just another way to say thank you for what they're doing. And yeah, you kind of cry, but that's, you know, we have to give our love somehow.
Yeah. How do you handle mistakes during a performance? Do you pretend they didn't happen and keep going, or do you kind of lose composure, or what do you try to do?
I love that question. Well, when it comes to acting, it's either seen or not seen, but majority of the time it is seen. If you're really good and you have wonderful cast members, they will act on the mistake and support it. There's this kind of rule, I guess, where if you do something wrong, you still agree with your partner. Therefore, there's no negativity or there's no opposites where you don't know what to do. So if you make a mistake, you just support the other person. You react later as if, you know, smack yourself on a hand, give yourself a little shakedown. But mistakes do happen. That's kind of error. Not yeah. possible. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, crap happens, right?
I mean, exactly.
And the thing that I've found, too, is most people, I used to really worry about it, but most people can't pick things up anyway. I mean, if you misstep in a dance move, yeah, sometimes they might notice something's a little off. But musically, if you, you know, really screw up and you play the wrong chord and it's at the wrong time, they might notice. But most of the time, these little things that we're perfectionists about, you know what I mean? I found that most people don't really notice stuff.
Yeah, I totally get you, because it's they're there to like be the entertainer. When they get in that zone, they're just there having fun, and they're there to experience it with the people that they're there with. I remember one time I was actually at a Jimmy Fallon mini concert, and it was actually Carrie Underwood on, and she and Jimmy Fallon, I don't know if it's Jimmy Fallon or Kimmel, but they had made their own little 5-minute segment song, and she accidentally said the words to that. And at the time, when I was listening to her, I did not even realize that she made a mistake, but I recorded it. And when I went back to just like relive the moment, I was like, oh crap, she said the wrong words. And then she was laughing with it. And then her background singer was there saying the right words. So they had each other's back. But like in the moment, you really don't realize it, and play back, oh, funny mistake, but you still remember that too.
Yeah, absolutely. How often do you practice?
I think, practice what are we talking about?
Both.
Well, so I actually try to learn new songs, if not twice a week, if not every month. I just get really busy because I'm doing reviews. I'm trying to always get more, what's the word, expand my musical advertisement, different genres, different artists. But singing happens every single day, whether I'm in my car, whether I'm getting dressed for work, whether I'm cooking. So every day, and then when I'm really honing in on a song, I'll do it in my car, and then I'll even doing it, practicing as if I was recording it. That way I can kind of understand if I want to change something about the song, or if it's just kind of perfect the way it is. And that's the way that kind of works with me and my voice.
Okay. What do you think, when you look at what you've done so far in your career, any mistake that you want to share with our listeners that you could go back in time, you'd erase it or do something differently?
That's a very good question. I don't think I have really done too much. I could have definitely done a lot more. I was one listening to one of your podcasts, and I just ran into a lot of scams majority of my life, which had discouraged me for most of my career, which has why there's such a big gap between my early life to like right now. But I would say just watch out for scams, but don't let those really distract you from pursuing it outside the cameras. You can still do it, record yourself, listen to good music. It's not, you're not going to get right away, but you can still do what you love. Heck, when I was, before I went off to college, I was going in my garage every day, turning on all these lamps. I got AstroTurf, put that up with nails in my garage, and I was just singing, pretending I had a stage. So that's how I did it and kind of coped with being scammed and being hurt, is just singing it and recorded myself.
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, we've all been there. And that is one of the reasons I like to ask about scams, because we've all fallen for it. And Pam, one of the listeners, is asking a question, you know, why do people fall for scams? And I think part of it is we're indie artists and we fall for it. You know, we believe when someone says, hey, for $100 or $50, I can help you with this or that. Obviously, unfortunately, some people fall for the expensive stuff too. But I think you learn very quickly that when people promise you stuff, it's just not going to happen. And we all want to make it. So I think sometimes these scam artists prey on that.
Right. And they're also preying on the fact that you'll change your mind or you'll think it's a different experience, because that's literally what happens to me every time. I always think when I get a direct message on Instagram and they say, if you want to promote this item, we'll promote you. And I always fall for it in good faith, thinking that this person is actually doing what they say they want to do for a good reason versus just trying to get our money. When I was my first scam back when I was, you know, just leaving elementary school, it was a talent agency, and they wanted $5,000 up front. And so it was hard for my parents to decline that because they knew how much I wanted this. But when we sat down, looked at it, how much I really wanted it, and I was so young and getting into it, I said, I have more time. I can do this. I'm not going to put my family in this situation. And yeah, it's out there every day, and I'm still learning, really.
Yeah, I think we all are. And that's why I think protecting one another and helping each other is key, because some of the listeners out there are songwriters. And again, I hear you. I feel you. I've fallen for it myself. We want it to be true, but, and let's be honest, even legitimate people, legitimate managers, legitimate, they know how to play the game, and they sometimes take advantage of people in other ways too. So it's not just about these scammers that promise you Spotify listeners and that they're going to help you go viral. It's a tough, tough situation. It really is.
Yeah, and you've said it on a previous podcast, you just think, make sure you do the research, make sure you really want it, have the time for it, and hopefully if it's meant to be, which, you know, we all want it to be, it'll happen at some point when it's the right time. And the people who really, really want you, they have the best interest for you.
Yeah, one of our listeners, Alex, is asking specifically, I kind of briefly mentioned Spotify. There are a million people out there promising you that they'll help you go viral on Spotify and Apple Music, and those are kind of the juggernauts right now. So when you sit there and you think, oh, for $100 or $200, again, the problem is a lot of this stuff is fake, then it skews your data, and you getting a bunch of followers or listeners in Turkey or Bangladesh does not help you at all. It makes us misinformed, because then you think, wow, I'm starting to go viral. Hey, my song's got traction. And there's nothing more disheartening than being misled, I think.
Right. It really breaks your heart, making you feel like you have what it takes. And then when it's fake, it's like, okay, you don't seem like you have real talent, real skills, what it takes to be in this limelight for doing what you're passionate about and what you want to influence the next generation for. And it kind of feels like it should be an illegal kind of move in a way, because you're dealing, it's cruel and it's heartbreaking, like I said, but some people see it as business. Some people see it as a chance to, you know, make themselves say that they've done this and this, give them experience. It's just, I think it's growing is just as much as the entertainment is growing. They're finding new ways to scam and new ways to make things that they, good marketing, I guess, is what it is.
Yeah. Well, and that's the double-edged sword, right? Because we know that money talks, and we know that the average single by a major label, they put $1 million to $2 million behind it at least. So we know that that's how they get in front of ears and that's how doors open, but we don't have that. So we're trying to make do with smaller budgets, and we're trying to find unique ways to get our stuff out there. But that's the double-edged sword. Marketing does work, and you do need money to get your stuff out there and in the front and center. So that's the dilemma.
Absolutely true. I remember my brother is a Celine Dion fan, and how she got her big break was, I believe it, her husband's name is Renee. He spotted out the money to get her first album out. And without his help, she would have been where she was before. So yeah,
he was a super, he had all the connections. Absolutely. Yeah. We're at the point in the show here. A couple of things. We're going to listen to your song. Give us a minute about your song. What inspired it? What made you want to send this to us tonight for the audience to hear it?
Well, I mostly do writing songs every day. Whenever I kind of just get in the mood, I'll figure out the lyrics and then I'll just like start singing them. And then I've been working on this for quite a long time. I actually have like a In the Progress mini series called Ryan to Ryan, A Glimpse. And this one was literally just me going from, I think it was college or high school, going to college. And it was just like a totally new, fresh start. So this is about dropping all the labels I've ever had and dropping about who I think I am and just letting life hopefully support me and be what I want to become and just be free. That's what it's called, actually, Breaking Free. And it's a little bit different. I would play it a little bit differently, but it's still kind of like an anthem from my younger self to my adult self.
Awesome. All right, Sebastian, we're going to hear your song right now, and then we'll come back and talk about it, okay?
Appreciate it. Hope you all like it.
All right, here we go. Yeah, when it's Very cool, Sebastian. So the one thing I usually get to in the beginning of the show, which I didn't, but I'm going to ask you now that we've heard your song, how do you start? Is it the music? Is it the sax? Is it the lyrics? Is it the melody? How do you get started when you're making a song?
It's really, to me, all about feeling. If I'm really, really sad or something big has happened, I technically just go by that feeling and find words and then I just kind of put them together. I really don't work on a chorus verse or a verse. It's just really the words, and when they come together, they don't. And then I'll start singing it and find if I want it to be slow or happy, sad. And that's just like my whole progress of how I do things. And that's how I've done it with all of my songs. And I most of my songs are kind of on the sad, low end, only because that's when I really noticed that I had the so much in my head, my heart and mind going on, that this was like the best way for me not to go to prison for one or to punch something. And that's probably what has to do with my mini series. And yeah, that was my answer. Sorry, I went like way
that's
over.
That's okay. That's okay. How important is image in this business?
I'd say it's at least half of it. Whether you're, you know, a goody two shoe or whether you're rock and roll, that is basically how you're defining your music. If something bad happens to you, then everything in the past is in the past. And what you create new is maybe like a redemption, or talks about that tragic event that has happened to you and changed you. But that's also why you have a team who are good at PR, marketing, you know, sets you up with all the shows that you're going to do and like what music goes onto your album.
So tell us a little bit about that. Do you have a PR firm? Because that's something everybody wants. Everyone wants a manager, a PR firm, but obviously they cost money and we don't have the numbers where they're going to come work for 10, 15%. So how do you approach that?
So I actually have a degree in communications and emphasis in PR. So, and my specialty, one of them is actually Instagram. So I've done background searches on all this stuff. It's not a background search, it's just searching actually. And I've realized how to market myself, kind of get myself out there. When I was younger, when I started out, I actually did through Facebook, and I did like $5, and that $5 got me 130 followers. But of course, I can't always do that. So it's just really now about being constant at what you're doing, having content that is to the audience and viewers liking, sadly, because they are the people that are going to come back, maybe even bring other people with you. But I think hopefully staying to who you are and always building up from where what you're doing is going to be enough PR to have people, versus having to hire someone for you, because yeah, not everyone can do it like you said. So hopefully you're good enough and you love what you're gonna do enough to put so much time into it.
Yeah, No, absolutely. What do you think is the best way to grow as an artist? For example, Instagram, Facebook. If someone came to you and said, hey, I have $50 or $100, what's the best way to grow? What would you answer?
Oh, maybe trying to just get yourself tutorials about one, instruments, and two, figuring, getting, whether it's online or physical sources about the people who have been where you've been and learn from them. When I'm doing my music reviews and my reflections, I always kind of go to what's the websites? 200 charts, the billboards, all the music sites that say these are the top artists. I listen to them, expand my knowledge, and figure out what they did, how they started. Some of them mostly started on TV shows, like Fifth Harmony, they got on X Factor, Karen Underwood and Kelly Clarkson both got American Idol. But other people, they just, like Taylor Swift, she started in this really small town, was performing live in small cafes, and she just kept on trying with CDs that she made herself and sent them to industries. I'm not sure which one of them are, but that's what you do. You learn how they do it and see what way works for you, what's at your disposal at the time, and continue that. And then hopefully you'll find someone, or you can just keep on going. I even know that Shawn Mendes, he got discovered, I think, through Vine, which doesn't exist anymore, but that's how his potential was. And then Justin Bieber got scouted out through YouTube.
Yeah. Everyone's always looking for the next way to get famous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you have any suggestions for them?
To get famous, if you're doing it just to get famous, you're not doing it for the right reasons. This should be something that is in your heart, that it's in to do. Technically, you should be doing it until you retire or until you die. But if you're doing it to get famous, then there's other ways. And you're, in my opinion, taking the chance away from someone who got a guitar at 7 years old, took singing lessons, you know, took mortgages out from their parents to go move to New York or Los Angeles to do what they know that they are willing to do.
Yeah.
And I think I answered your question, but I can't remember.
No, it makes two of us, man. I'm just teasing. What's your ideal superpower? If you could pick a superpower, what would you pick?
Well, my favorite actually is Flash, because he's so fast, and I feel like that's what I need. I need to do so much at one time. But I also love Batman, because everything he does to help people, he has smart gadgets, yes, but it's himself doing it. So he doesn't have the lasers. He doesn't have the awesome swimming abilities. It's just him being the hero and maybe using his brain by making all these gadgets. So yeah. I would just love myself to be that instrument.
Yeah, that's true. If you could pick one genre of movies for the rest of your life, what genre would...
Crime. I love crime. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Who's your favorite person to follow on Instagram? You said that's your main social media.
Oh, that's a good question. I kind of grew up with this YouTuber named Tyler Ward, and I kind of feel like he is in my steps. He started out writing his own music. He's actually really, really good. He has over 1 million on YouTube. He's on Patreon. He's on Facebook. And he followed his heart, grew up in Denver, and then at some point moved to Nashville, and that's where he is right now, making his own music. And so I find him to be an inspiration. I don't follow too many actual singers, because I want to be influenced by the people that not are my ranks, but are just people that I can follow and understand what they're doing this for. So definitely Tyler Ward Music. That's, I think, his handle everywhere. Other than that, Leroy Sanchez, he's also really, really good. I love actually Megan and Liz. They're a country duo. They're twin sisters, and I'm also a twin, so that's why I kind of also had a connection there. But they do covers, they do live performance as well, and make their own music, and they've been to the CMT Awards, they've met Carrie Underwood. So I just find their music and all of their natural voices are just beautiful together, organic, and it's refreshing really to hear.
Yeah. Do you have any cool touring plans once the virus embargo lifts?
Unfortunately not. I see myself staying simply as busy as I am. I have a day job. I stick to my computer making videos. I'll probably be doing more videos than ever because right now I'm just stuck at home and not much has come out lately. I just did a video on Kelly Clarkson's I Dare You with her global virtual performance. And then just today she actually released the American Sign Language, which I kind of know. So I'm really getting into that. And then I'm looking forward to watching Demi Lovato's collaboration with Sam Smith. I know that came out like a week ago, but I'm kind of behind.
Yeah, that's all right. What things do you not like to do?
I cannot handle sitting around the house and doing nothing. I feel like I have to do something. I'm a little OCD as well. But I don't know what else I don't like to do. Yeah, that's a really hard question. Maybe doing something illegal. I actually don't like cussing. I feel like it's a verbal war that we can also just stop and help make, you know, the world a better place. We have already so much like bad in the world. So my friends, my coworkers, my family, I'll say just the word language and they'll give me the stink eye, but they know I'm passionate about it. So they'll be respectful of who's around them. And they'll not stop. And then I just like to be one of my classes in college. I became really specific about my language and who I'm talking to. So when you're being disrespectful with your language, I kind of find that to be a problem too.
Yeah. It's funny as you're saying that one of our listeners, Tessie, she texted in a note and it's, "Why the F !! Does he not like cussing?" So she's trying to be funny. Tessie, that's hilarious.
Yeah, so many people are not on my side about that, but that's what makes me special.
I think she's just trying to be funny, man. I love when people, I'm very sarcastic, and when people have a great sense of humor like that, I kind of love that kind of stuff.
That's hilarious. I'm around so many people. I kind of consider myself like Sheldon from the Big Bang Theory. I can totally deliver sarcasm and like everyone laugh. But when they take it me or give it to me, I'm like taking it personal because I like, oh my God, I just made them upset. I did something wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go all overboard trying to make it better. I get annoying. I get irritating. Oh boy, I'm so sorry. But yeah, Tessie, thank you for lighting the load. Really appreciate it.
Is there a certain day of the week that's your favorite?
I think, I kind of like Monday because that's when everything is fresh and motivating to make sure everyone is smiling and happy. I'm really chipper. I'm almost too chipper, actually, that people that know me are always annoyed about it. Like, I'm always smiling, always happy, always laughing. And they say I have too much energy. And so I think on a Monday, Tuesday kind of days, I use that a lot after I've had like maybe 3 cups of coffee and spread that around.
Okay. Tell us about a time when things didn't go the way you wanted.
In what sense?
In any sense, musically, artistically, and what did you do about it?
Oh my goodness. Probably when I was in school, in my high school choir, I was doing a cover of Rascal Flatts' What Hurts the Most.
Good song.
And I know, and I hope I didn't, not do it justice, really, honestly. But everyone was actually in my class saying they love that song, and I think that's how we kind of have to prove, or not prove, but in order to do the recital, we had to sing in front of our class. And did it fine just then. And when I was singing that song, I actually forgot the words and I had the background vocals to help me out for the harmony and they literally helped me figure out where I was in the song. And so that's just kind of like what we were talking about when we messed up. You get the help. And so thankfully whoever made that track really helped my performance because I was back on board.
I got to tell you that to me, I know in the past people would have cue cards or they have teleprompters. I think what I would love if I ever make it huge and I have to consistently... I've written so many songs and I remember the words, but if you have all these songs and if you're doing covers and sometimes it's hard to hit every chord and every note. I think the easiest thing is just to have a backing track in your ear, in your one ear, your left or your right. Because this way, if you're listening to yourself, say, it's you're less likely to forget it. And if you forget something here or there, you just throw a dot or you ad lib a little bit. But to me personally, that would be my crutch. I would love to just have either if it's my song, my vocals, in one ear. That way I feel like I would never forget it, you know?
Oh, yeah, tell that's happened to me on stage so many times. One of the musicals I did, I think it was called Once on This Island, and I literally just could not hear my cue for the piano. And so I went up to the director, and they just said, tell the pianist to look at you, and that's how the only way I could really know when my cue was, because that was the start of the song, yeah. And also to, like, change from, like, scenes.
That's tough. I did a show when I could not really hear anything either. But it makes it challenging when you can't hear. So anyway, we're almost done with our time here. Can you tell me, please, your contact information, your website, your socials? Where can people hear and buy your music? Where can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. So I'm most active on YouTube and Instagram. Both those handles are Sebastian Lee Music. They also can find me on Facebook and Twitter and SoundCloud. Sebastian Lee Music, and then I think for Twitter, because it has like its character restraints, I think it's Sebastian L Music, and that's where I am. Post weekly, just because it takes time to work, get your art out there, but that's where I am.
Perfect. All right, it was a real pleasure having you on the show. Thank you for being on the show tonight.
Definitely, I appreciate you taking your time to let us kind of speak our love about music and everything.
You're very welcome. So to any listeners out there who may be artists or know artists, if you want to be on the Songwriter Show, please simply just reach out to me either via email or social media. I want to thank everyone for listening. I want to thank you for your comments and the love. I hope everyone's unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorantos. Please join me next time to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at the Songwriter Show. And tonight I'm going to leave you with a song that I released in November, which coincidentally is my birthday month. The song was called Friendless. I released it on my birthday, which was November 4th. Back then, I basically had a great weekend. I had a great day. My mom took me out to lunch and we had a lot of fun. Nostalgia and sentimentality were everywhere and they both made us feel great. When we left though, my mom backed up into my car. And even though she felt terrible and it was still a soothing day, I told her not to worry about it because at the end of the day, who cares about material things? And that got me into the topic of friendship. Friendship was the theme of this song you're going to hear. Friends are important, aren't they? Unfortunately for those of us that are workaholics, sometimes friendships take a back seat. The song was inspired by someone telling me that I had no friends and all I did was work all the time. And I thought, well, that might be true. I do work a lot, and I don't have as much time as I once had to go out. But please don't mistake this for not wanting to go out, not wanting to relax or kick back or have fun. I do. And so I wrote this song called Friendless, and it has a twist ending at the end that I think you'll enjoy what direction the song goes. And this one was all about me, my piano, and my exasperated vocals. So I hope you enjoy it. I'll see you again next Tuesday night. Everyone have a great night. Thank you, and I love you all.
My wife loves me but doesn't understand me. My kids think I'm sometimes odd. I've always been the box that needed to be unlocked. My dream was always to understand the key of screaming in woe, to never wear a mask, to be whole, to own my own soul. I have wants, I have needs, on the edge of emptiness. Why am I friendless? Am I a joke? Ghost. At 40, I am friendless. A legacy built alone. No excuses, obligations always met. Never left the troubled trenches. I've always been the one learning life's lonely lessons. My dream was always to understand the key of screaming in woe. Turn everywhere a mess to behold, to own my own soul. I have wants, I have needs, on the edge of emptiness.
Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.